Okay, we're ready. Well, morning church. It feels so weird to not to be in church, but still be in church. And this is, I guess, what God is doing in this new season. I'm sure you're all doing well in the comfort of your homes as we meet this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's a bit weird, but we celebrate every single day that God gives us. Before we get started, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. Lord, I pray that you speak to everyone who is listening to my voice, everyone who is watching right now from the comfort of their homes. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to them. You'd reveal yourself to them. Father, your word says, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in their midst by my spirit. Lord, we thank you that there's no distance in the spirit. Right now in our homes, we are gathered together. We thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right. As we get started this morning, we are continuing on our series entitled Passion Rescue. Passion Rescue. This is the series that we've been on for the past 3 weeks, and I'm sure the Lord has been speaking to you, the Lord has been ministering to you as we went along. And I believe more so in this season that we're in as a country, we need to be rescued. We need a saving hand to come and save us. It has been very exciting to see prayers being made on national TV. I was watching yesterday, a couple of nights ago, where one of the army personnel was praying in the name of Jesus just before they were deployed by the president. And you could sense that people are really open to the move of God. So everyone needs to be rescued, especially in these days that we find ourselves in. As a nation, we are under lockdown. But I want you to know, though we are under lockdown in the natural, we are not under lockdown in our spirit man. We are not under lockdown. Our spirit man is thriving. I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:16, where he was saying, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So wherever you are right now, don't say I'm stuck at home. Say, I am saved at home. Glory be to God. I am saved at home. Now, as a nation, this is the time to fix our eyes on those things that are unseen, not on things that are seen. Because right now, if your eyes are fixated on what is seen, you'd find that you'll be very discouraged. Therefore, you need to shift your eyes to those things that are unseen, because the things that are unseen, they are eternal. They are the ones that give life. Now, as we get into our message this morning, let me start off by asking you a question. You know, I like asking questions. And unfortunately, you're not able to give me an answer. But I want to ask you a question this morning. And this is my question. How much of your life is touched by the salvation of Jesus? Just think about that right now. How much of your life is touched by the salvation of Jesus? I don't know. Do you see salvation as something that affects everything about your life? Or it is only confined to your spirit man? In other words, salvation is only good enough to touch your spirit man and nothing else. Now, many people have a skewed view around this issue called salvation. They have a skewed view around that. And that view has affected their way of life, the way that they live their lives. It has affected the way that they pray. And you'd find that if your view of salvation is skewed, you will find that you will not expect God to touch certain areas of your life. You will not expect God to answer certain prayers of your life. Why? Because you've got a narrow view of salvation. A narrow view of salvation. Now, with that question in mind, this morning I want to talk to you on a subject matter, nothing stays behind. Nothing stays behind. This title reminds me of these war movies where the American soldiers would say, no one is left behind. They will go back and get their fellow brothers out in the battlefield. And this morning, I want to talk about this issue. Nothing stays behind in relation to your salvation, in relation to my salvation. Now, salvation changes everything about you. At salvation, nothing stays behind. And you need to understand this, that when you are born again, in that moment, the desire of Jesus is that everything would be changed. Take note of this. When Jesus comes into your life, his intention is to take over everything about you. It's a total takeover when Jesus comes into your life. You see, Christ is not only Savior. Hello? Christ is not only your Savior, but He's also your Lord. Amen. Many people are stuck with Christ just being their Savior. Now, those who allow Him to be Lord over all will experience a deeper dimension of their walk with God. Amen. I don't know if you see Jesus as your Lord as well, or He's good enough to rescue you from that eternal death. But when Christ becomes Lord over all, everything changes about you. Amen. That is why you cannot afford to live your life in a dichotomous way. What do I mean by dichotomous? It's when you say, this portion of my life is sacred. Everything that I do in church is sacred. But everything else I do when I'm at work is secular. What that means is that Christ does not have control over your life when you are out of the four walls of the church. Amen. Now, I want to ask you a question. What happens right now when we are not able to meet on a Sunday together? Does that stop your life from being under the control and the lordship of Jesus Christ? Now, you need to understand that salvation is the starting point for the rescue of your entire personality, your entire person. The saving of your life begins at that point when you cross the bloodline. Now, last week, let's go to Luke 19, verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. That is where we read last week. Now, this is what the word said when we read Luke 19:1. And going in, he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. You remember we spoke about Zacchaeus, how Zacchaeus was rich. If you can see here, it says, and he was rich. Though he was rich on the outside, yet spiritually, he was very, very poor. And he sought to see Jesus, to see who he was. And he could not because of the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran in front and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass through that way. Talking about Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Can you imagine Jesus coming into your life, and he says to you, today I must stay at your house? That will change everything about your life. Verse 6, and hurrying he came down and received him joyfully, and seeing, this is talking about the crowd, they all murmured, saying, he has gone in to stay with a sinful man. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And in anything I accused anyone falsely, I restore it fourfold. Can you see what happens when salvation comes your way? It touches everything about you. The moment Zacchaeus experienced the love of God for him, he did not wait for Jesus to say, what about that? What about that? Everything was now under the lordship of Jesus. That is what happens when Jesus comes into our lives. He said, I will restore fourfold. This man was filthy rich. Yeah. And Jesus said to him, "This day salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to zero in on verse 10 this morning. Jesus answered his critics by telling them, you see, they were saying, "Jesus, how could you go into the house of such a sinful man?" And this is the question. Some of us, we have prejudged people. We look at them and we say, "This man is beyond salvation. The amount of issues that he has done in his life, do you think salvation can also reach him?" Now Jesus answered them and he said to them, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to zero in on that today. When I read that, something jumped in my spirit. I want you to also concentrate on that word, to seek. Because Jesus was telling these Pharisees and the crowd and saying, "Look, listen to me. The Son of Man has come for one intention, and his intention is to seek." Now, when you look at that issue, to seek, it is packed. It is important for you to realize that Jesus came looking for you. Sometimes we forget about that. We forget that Jesus actually came to look for us. If you look at the Gospels, you would realize that none of us called out to God for salvation. But God, in his own love, sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for us. It was a huge gamble because there was no guarantee that you and I were going to accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Now, when you look at that word to seek, I find it very, very interesting. That word to seek has got a number of connotations. What does it mean when somebody is seeking out for something? When you seek for something, it means you are going after something. There is an intent here. And this is what Jesus did when he came down on earth. He was looking. He was going after the souls of humanity. That is why you need to see an individual as valuable before God. Because Jesus came seeking for you and I, seeking for humanity. So when you are seeking something, you're going after something. Not only are you going after something, you are chasing down. It's as if you are running after something. There is a goal that you're pursuing. And therefore, Jesus saw you as an agenda to fight for. And therefore, Jesus came down chasing you. My question today is, what are we chasing down? Heaven was chasing after you. Heaven chased after me and caught up with me. Unfortunately, some people keep on running away. But Jesus does not give up on you. Glory be to God. So this is the issue. When you seek after something, you chase it down. You're chasing down a target. That is why when Jesus was going towards the cross, he said to the Father, "I have done what you sent me to do. Therefore, glorify me with the same glory that I had." In other words, in the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of faith, he saw humanity coming to God. And therefore, he could say, "Father, I have done my job." Glory be to God. Amen. So, this is the issue. When Jesus came seeking for you, he was chasing you down. Not only that, it is searching with great intent. Imagine you have lost your ring, your wedding ring, in your bedroom. You know what you do? You go down on your knees and you sweep. You look closely. Why? Because it is precious in terms of monetary value, but also in terms of what it signifies. And therefore you're saying, "I'm not going to walk out there without my ring." So you go down on your knees and you search with great intent. This is what Jesus did. He went down and he was searching for humanity. Glory be to God. You see, we normally talk about us seeking God. We are encouraged to seek after the heart of God. And it is a beautiful thing. It is a great thing for us to seek after the heart of God. But do you realize that before we were in a position to seek after God, God was already seeking after us? God is after you right now. God is looking after you. It doesn't matter where you are. You might be under lockdown and you feel clustered. You feel claustrophobic and all of that. But I want you to know wherever you are right now, God seeks for you. He looks for you. You might be deep down under a deep place where it is so rough. God finds you. Amen. There's a place where David says, where can I put my spirit? Where can I go? Even if I lie down under the seas, I lie down in the pits of hell, your presence finds me. Glory be to God. The presence of God finds you wherever you are. There is no amount of trouble that can hide you away from the presence of Jesus. Amen. He seeks you out. He seeks you out. I like it the way God puts it in Ezekiel 34. Here he's talking about the bad shepherds who are not looking after the sheep. These shepherds were busy eating the sheep, feeding themselves. And as a result, the sheep got scattered. And God said, away with these bad shepherds. I'm going to take on my responsibility and I will look for my sheep. Look at this with me. Ezekiel 34 verse 11. He says here, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. That is the heart of God. He searches, he seeks them out. Verse 12 says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I don't know how dark your day is. Jehovah says, I will find you. Glory be to God. I will find you. This is the point where what God was saying to this multitude, who are saying to them, I'm on a mission to seek out for my lost sheep. Let's move on to the next word that he uses here. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek, we now know what that is all about, and to save. That makes life interesting. He says here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Saints, here things really get exciting. He is not one of those people who will offer false hope. Where he will say, when I find you, I'll do this for you. Or when you come to my house, I'll do this for you. Jesus, one, is able to find you. And when he finds you, he's able to do something about your condition. That is why we cannot afford to trust man. Man has no capacity to save us. But Jesus has capacity to save us. Talking about offering people some false hope. I remember probably almost a year ago, I was enticed to buy a shirt online. My wife knows this shirt. Online, this shirt looked great. It looked beautiful. It looked amazing. And I remember I paid probably 400 rand for it. And then plus courier costs, it would become about 550. And then after a month, I got the shirt. And the shirt was wrapped in a very interesting packaging. I remember opening this shirt and looking at it. It was totally different from what was projected on the internet. I was so disappointed. And there I was trying to put on the shirt. And when I tried to wear the shirt, it tore on one of the seams. Can you imagine that? I was sold a dummy by these guys. But anyway, that is what happens when we put our hope in people who don't have capacity to fulfill what they promise. But Jesus has got capacity. Jesus has got capacity. Let's look at that word, save. Let's look at that word, save. What does it mean? What does it mean? Now, that word comes from a Greek word, sozo. We're going to unpack this a little bit. Remember, we are talking about nothing stays behind. When you get born again, child of God, nothing stays behind. That is why you need to have a holistic view of your salvation, a holistic view of what God has come to do in your life. And that word, save, is very much contained in that Greek word, sozo. What does it mean? Let's look at this. What does it mean to save? That is sozo. Sozo in Greek. I'm sure everyone will be aware of the first definition that is found in sozo, the word to save. It is to deliver from the penalties of God's judgment. Do you know that the day that Adam sinned, God demanded a penalty? He was saying, if you are to save yourself, if you are to come to me, you need to shed blood so that through your blood, your sins can be taken away and that you can come closer to me. And everybody is aware of it. And we are fine with the whole issue of salvation as an entity that enables us to be reconnected with Jesus. But does it end there? That is the question this morning. When we talk about nothing stays behind, does our salvation, this word to save, does it only end here on dealing with my sins, on moving me from a place of being dead in my spirit man to a place of being alive in my spirit man where I can relate with God? It also means to keep safe and sound. Oh yes, we need that portion of salvation in this season. Don't we? We are all walking with our lives in our hands at the moment, if you are able to walk out there, because we are afraid of contracting COVID-19. But when you are born again, there's an entity here called being kept safe and sound. Can you imagine you buy a new house and you move into a new house? I bet because of where we live these days, one of the things that you do, you'd put up an alarm system. Because you want your house to be safe and sound. Guess what? When you get born again, when salvation comes into your life, it is a complete package. And that package includes being kept safe and sound. Amen. Being kept safe and sound in your physical body, in your mental state, in your emotional state. That is what salvation brings. It's a complete package. It talks about to rescue from danger or from disease. To rescue from danger or from disease. To make well, to heal, to restore to health. Did you know that was part of your salvation? That when Jesus came and he said, it is finished, he wasn't just saying it is finished because your spirit man is now fine. He was saying it is finished because you are no more in danger of disease. Even when disease comes your way, you are able to come out of it. Why? Because by his stripes, you were healed. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Salvation makes you well. Hallelujah. That is why we can say, even under lockdown, it is well with my soul. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. It is well with me. Why? Because I am born again. Now it changes the complexion of that word. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save. Now the issue of being saved, it talks about restoration. Hallelujah. Has anything been stolen in your life? It's not just about health. Some of you here need to be restored financially. Some of you need to be restored even relationally. There are relationships that have been broken, but God is saying, I can restore them back to life. Amen. Guess what? It's in the package. Amen. It's in the package. Let's look at the third definition. It is to preserve one who is in danger of destruction. To preserve one who is in danger of destruction. You know, the Bible tells us that the one who watches over Israel neither sleeps, neither slumbers. He doesn't sleep. Glory be to God. Amen. The reason why he doesn't sleep, it is for to preserve you. Amen. He is a watchman. Yes. He watches over your family. He watches over your marriage. He watches over your finances. And therefore, we do not need to be like those who don't know Jesus. When you know Jesus, you know you are being preserved. Preserve one who is in danger of destruction. You see, that word to preserve, it is when, you know, we talk about preservatives, where food is, there are preservatives added into the food so that this food can live longer, so to speak. So when Jesus comes into your life, he is a preservative of your life. He's a preservative. Hallelujah. That is why you don't need anything else other than Jesus. When you do not understand this comprehensive definition of salvation, you would say Jesus plus. Jesus plus another relationship. Jesus plus another deal. Jesus plus another thing. When you have Jesus, you do not need to add anything else. Glory be to God. Now, Jesus continues. And then he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost. I find that very, very interesting. I'm not sure if you see what I'm seeing here. But he does not say that who was lost. But instead he says that which was lost. It tells me something that it doesn't just talk about you as an individual or you, the spirit man, but it also talks about everything else that was lost in the Garden of Eden. When you look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't just a separation from God that happened. They lost authority over the earth. They lost the ability to speak and things to become a reality. They lost the control, the dominion that they had. Now, when Jesus came, he said, "I'm coming to seek man, to seek that which was lost, to save the spirit man, but also to restore man to his original identity." Glory be to God. When Jesus, when God created Adam, he created him in his own image. God was creative, wasn't it? He created the heavens and the earth. And therefore the DNA of being creative was found in Adam, but it got distorted at the fall. So when Jesus came, he says, that which was lost, yes, your spirit man is there, but your ability to walk in total dominion, your ability to dictate what should happen around you. That is why here he says, that which was lost. So, salvation starts with the saving of your spirit man, but that is only the beginning. As you have seen, that sozo goes way beyond that. Now, let's talk about this whole issue of salvation. Did you know that salvation has got three dimensions to it? And we need to understand that as believers. There are three dimensions of salvation. The first dimension is the past dimension of salvation. You have been saved. The day that you opened up your heart and you gave your life to Jesus, you were saved. In that moment, in the instant, you were regenerated from being dead in the spirit to being alive. Your relationship with Father God was restored right at that point. You know, the Bible will talk about this in 2 Timothy 1:9, where Paul would say, "He has saved us," talking about God, "He has saved us and called us with a holy life." So he has saved us. So the day that you open your heart to Jesus, you were saved, and that is in the past. If you are not born again and you're watching me right now, today is the day that the Lord has made. You are able to walk and cross that bloodline and say, "Jesus, come into my life." And you're able to experience that dimension. That is the first dimension, is the entry point. The second dimension is the present dimension. It is the dimension of you are being saved. You are being saved. Saints, this is the process of constant renewal, constant sanctification. This is the process of your healing in your body when you are sick. That is the process of you being saved right there. That is where we find ourselves after we cross the bloodline. We step into the dimension of being saved. Being saved. Paul spoke to the Corinthians, where he says, those who are being saved in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15. Here you can see that though it is in the past tense, but we have the word saved used in a present and ongoing sense. In the present and ongoing, those who are being saved, those who are being sanctified, those who are being strengthened, those who are being healed, those who are being delivered from demonic torment, that is the process that we go through in the present right now. I like what Paul says again in Philippians around this present continuous process of being saved. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. So there is a combination of God working in you, and you're putting yourself in a position where you're saying, Lord, come and help me. Come and help me to walk this righteous path. You find that in Philippians 2, verse 12. Work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It needs maintenance. Because we are in a fallen world, every time we walk out there, we get tainted by the fallen nature of the world. We get tainted. We trip over ourselves. We commit sins all the time. That is why we need to work out our salvation every single day. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to say to the Lord, show me what's the state of my heart. What is the state of my heart? That is why John in his letters is saying, anyone who says he does not have sin is a liar and he's lying to himself. But 1 John 1:9 says God is faithful, that if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. That is the process of us being saved. Now the third dimension is you will be saved. This will happen at the time we will enter into glory. This will happen when we enter into glory and will forever be with our Lord for eternity. You know, Paul talks about in Romans 13, verse 11, he says here, our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. He says here, the night is long spent. Day is about to break. He says, now forsake all the dark works. Why? Because our salvation is nigh. Glory be to God. The Lord is about to come, saints. We cannot live as if we are dwellers of this world. We are not afraid of all these things that are happening. Because, by the way, that is the only way we're going to meet the Father in glory. We'll have to pass on into the next life. We shall be saved. We shall be saved. Now, many Christians are aware and very expectant of the first dimension and the third dimension. But we struggle with the second dimension. It is as if we live in the past and we live in the future. We forget about the present. But the Lord wants you to be present in the present. The Lord wants you to engage the issues of today. That is why, faced with coronavirus, the church has to be involved through prayer. The church has to be involved through presenting whatever gifts we have to those who are of need. We've got to be present in the present because today matters. I believe our tomorrow will be defined by what happens today. Do you know that your crown in heaven will be determined by what you're doing today now? You cannot afford to ignore today because today matters. Today is going to be very short in comparison to eternity. But the short today will determine the eternity standard of your life. Glory be to God. So, what is the point? The point is that when you get saved, nothing stays behind. Jesus is concerned about the regeneration of your spirit, man, yes. But he's also concerned about your daily walk. And is concerned about your afterlife. That is why in John 14, he says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going to my Father to prepare you a place. To prepare you a place. Glory be to Jesus. So Jesus is concerned about your spirit man, your body, your soul, and what will happen afterwards. Now, let's take a journey briefly. Let's take a journey to explore this matter of nothing stays behind in light of sozo. We will explore this dimension from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. I love the Gospel of Luke because of the details that Luke presented as a doctor. He was a medical doctor. He's the one who gives us insight into what really would happen around healings and all of those kind of things. He gives us a unique perspective of the completeness of our salvation. And this is what we're going to explore this morning. Now, we'll look at chapter 8 of Luke. Chapter 8 of Luke. When you go through this chapter, you'll find that our Savior Jesus wants to restore every part of man's life. Our Savior is concerned about everything that has to do with you. So let's go to Luke chapter 8 and see what is the story here. We're going to take it from verse 8. Now the Bible says, massive crowds gathered from many towns to hear Jesus. Can you see the impact that Jesus had on his day? Massive crowds gathered from many towns to hear Jesus. And he taught them using metaphors and parables such as this. I wonder this morning how many people in the world will say, let us go to church and hear the word of God. I wonder if the church is still attractive today. But I believe that is what the bride of Christ is supposed to be. Now here the Bible says, we all know the parable of the sower. It says here, a farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. As he scattered his seed, some of it fell on the hard pathway and was quickly trampled down and unable to grow and became nothing but bird seed. Seed was sown, but this seed fell on the pathway. Okay? Verse 11. So Jesus is explaining what he just said here in verse 4 and 5. In verse 11, he says here, and the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Saints, take note of that. The seed is the word of God. Those by the roadside are the ones who hear. You see, the issue is not about whether you are hearing or not. Everybody will hear. The issue is, how do you hear? How do you hear the word? He says that then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The issue is how you hear the word. Now, the first thing that you need to understand, and we have already labored this, but it's very important for us to put this down. Jesus came to restore your relationship with God the Father. And that is what a lot of people understand. But it is very important for you to have this as a conviction in your heart. Because Jesus declares and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That is very, very important. Because these days we are being taught different things. We are being taught different things. That there are many ways to God. You know? You've heard a lot of people saying that there are many ways to God, but Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. So the experience of salvation commences by the regeneration of your spirit man. And this is the first thing that Jesus does. When he comes into your life, he changes you. I want you to take note of something here. That the process of initial and continual salvation is a factor of your interaction with the Word of God. Just think about that. The process of initial and continual salvation is a factor of your interaction with the Word of God. Amen. Saints, I want you to know the entry into the kingdom of God, the initial salvation, can only happen when you interact with the Word. When that has happened, your continual salvation, remember we said we are being saved, your ability to continually walk in salvation is a factor of your interaction with the Word. Amen. Many people hear the Word at the point of salvation, but thereafter they stop interacting with the Word. They stop interacting with the Word. Now the devil will fight this interaction. He will fight those who are not yet born again so that they don't hear the word. He will fight those of you who are born again so that you do not hear the word, so that you do not read the word. Isn't it surprising that you don't feel sleepy when you're reading your novels, when you're reading any magazine, but the moment you take the word and you start reading it, you feel sleepy, you feel tired. That's the lie of the devil. That is a spirit of laziness that causes you to sleep even when the word is being preached. You see, being a pastor, I stand in front and I see people, and I have seen a number of people dozing. Yeah. During worship, nobody sleeps. During announcements, nobody sleeps. But when the word is being preached, all of a sudden they start fishing. They start fishing. By the way, that's a demonic spirit that stops you from hearing what will change your life for good. We need to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. So the devil will fight you so that you do not interact with the word. So the devil comes to steal the very word that brings about salvation. The issue is not whether the word is powerful to save or not. The issue is, do you hear the word with the right attitude? Do you hear the word with a humble heart, with a broken heart that says, Lord, whatever you want me to obey, I will obey. Whatever you want me to submit to, I will submit to the authority of the word. That is what will change your life. In verse 12, where we read, those by the roadside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts. This word finds no depth. Nobody pays attention to this word. So the word which remains on the surface is quickly snatched away by the devil. And this is what is happening today. Many believers hear the word, but they do not take the word seriously. It remains on the surface of their hearts. And then the devil comes and causes them to concentrate on other things. Sometimes you read the Bible, but immediately after reading the word, you run off and you are on Facebook and your mind has not even taken up the word in order to deposit it into your spirit man. What happens? That word remains on the surface and the devil will come and snatch it away. So saints, there is a battle raging on. There's a battle raging on for you who are born again right now not to get into the word. But more so for those who are not saved, that they will hear the word, but they would mock the word. They will ridicule the word. They will not pay attention to the word. Therefore, there is a battle raging on, saints, and you and I need to get involved in the battlefield. Amen. And you say to me, but Pastor, how do I get involved? I'm in lockdown. Yes, this is an opportunity for you and I to be involved in a battle on our knees. When you start praying for people who do not know Jesus, they do not need to hear a long sermon. They just need to hear one line, and that one line will change their lives. Glory be to God. Right now, I'll tell you, there are many channels that will be flighting the gospel as people are stuck in their homes. They'll be preaching the gospel. The question is, are people paying attention? Are people paying attention? We need to pray and say, Lord, we pray for those people as they flip through different channels. Let them stumble upon the truth. Amen. And let them pay attention to the truth. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, this is what happens. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3, there is a battle going on here. The Bible says here, but also if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those being lost, in whom the God of this world, take note, the God, Diabolos, the father of lies, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving ones so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. They will hear the word and they're just there to critique the pastors. But when you and I pray, they will no longer be there to see what's wrong with the church. They'll be crying out and say, Lord, I'm just looking for a word to encourage me. And as they do that, salvation will come in their lives. Saints, I want to ask you a question. COVID-19 has taken over 20,000 people world over. My question is, how many of those were ready to meet their maker? How many of those were ready to meet their maker? About 4 days ago, we had our first deaths in South Africa, two of them. The question is, were they ready to meet their maker? Saints, we have an opportunity right now to pray for our nation and say, Lord, in these 21 days, let revival break out in this nation. Glory be to God. Amen. And God can do that. Amen. I don't think those two will be the last ones. That's the reality. But the issue here is this. Whoever is next, Lord, let them meet you before they come to meet you. The Bible tells us that he does not find joy in the death of a sinner, but heavens rejoice when the righteous come to the Lord. Saints, we can pray right now and change the course of eternity for somebody. You and I need to pray. Without people hearing the word, there is no hope for our nation to be saved. That is why Paul declares and he says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That is the power of the gospel. And we can bring that power into reality by praying for our nation, by praying for our relatives. The last scripture I want to read is Romans 10:13, where the Bible says, For everyone, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is a guarantee, saints. If people can call upon the name of Jesus, they will be saved. Now there is a question here in verse 14. How then shall they call on him that they haven't heard of? That is the question. And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching? We need to pray, saints, in this season. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. You and I have been called for a time such as this. You remember the story of Esther. Esther said, "If I perish, I perish. I've been called for a time such as this." And she declared a fast. And people fasted. And the nation of Israel was spared. Today, you and I can be like Esther and say, "It is for this reason, Lord. We believe this is a holy moment for the church to call upon Jesus for this nation." But even for yourself, that you do not die in your spirit man, but stick it out in the word of God. Get deeper into the word. Get the word into your spirit man for you to continuously being saved from the calamities of this world. Let's close our eyes for a moment. As we end this message, maybe you've been hearing me from across, but you're not born again. But the Lord Jesus is not far away from you. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and he opens his heart, I will come in and I'll dine with him and him with me." That's in Revelation 3:19. So right now, repeat after me and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I come to you this morning. I accept that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. I believe today that you died for me and you rose on the third day and you are alive today. I welcome you into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me a child of God. From today onwards, I belong to you and you belong to me. I am no longer afraid of tomorrow because my tomorrow is secure and safe. Thank you, Lord." If you have made that prayer, Jesus has come into your life and he will change you, he will transform you. I want you to look for a Bible-believing church. If you don't attend a church, as soon as we get out of this lockdown, go to a Bible-believing church or come back again to this YouTube channel next week, same time at 10 a.m. We'll be teaching the word as we continue on this subject. Nothing stays behind. God bless you. And saints, I want to encourage you to keep on giving. We still need to meet our bills every single day. Go onto our website, godchurchpretoria.co.za. Under the giving tab, you'll find our banking details. I want to encourage you to generously give towards the work of the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. May you stay safe. May you stay spiritual. Keep on praying together as a family, and we'll keep you updated. For more information, go onto our website, and you'll be able to see what is happening in terms of prayer points and any other announcement. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to having you again next week on this channel at 10 a.m. God bless you.